بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous lesson, we spoke about the signs of the Day of Judgment. We mentioned that Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, in his creed, mentioned that we, meaning Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe in the signs of the Day of Judgment, such as the appearance of the emergence of the Dajjal, the imposter, the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, may peace be upon him, and the rising of the sun from its setting place, and the emergence of the earth animal, Dabbatul Ard, from its place. So he gave few examples. He didn't want to include every single sign. And we explained last week that there are minor signs and there are major signs. Minor signs precede the major signs. The major signs are 10, mentioned in one hadith, all of them. And the minor signs are numerous, more than 10, and nearly all of them happened. So we're very close to starting the major signs. We ask Allah to keep us on the right path. Then Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, "We do not believe a soothsayer, a clairvoyant, or the one who claims what disagrees with the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the Ijma', the scholarly consensus of the nation." In this paragraph, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi is clarifying one of the fundamental matters of Islam, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows about the whole unforeseen, al-ghayb. Allah is the only one who knows about the whole unforeseen, al-ghayb. A soothsayer, fortune teller, clairvoyant, or any other name, those who fall under this category, those who claim to have the ability of knowing the unforeseen, wal'ayyadhu billah, cannot be believed. So we do not believe them. We do not believe a arraf, and we do not believe a kahin. Now, linguistically in Arabic, there is a difference between al-arraf and al-kahin. Al-arraf is the one who claims that he is able to tell you about the missing item, the stolen item, and the like. So if you lose something or something has been stolen from you, those people, al-arrafun, claim to have the ability to tell you that your item has been stolen by such and such, or your item was lost in that place, you can find it in that place, and so on. This is called Al-Arraf, the one who tells about the past, what has been missing, what has been lost. Al-Kahin, however, claims, of course, and tells you about your future. He might say to you, you're going to get married, let us say, next year on this month, then your wife will be from that area, you'll have the first child in that year, and so on. So they claim to have the ability to tell you about the future, meaning to be able to know the future. Now, of course, we do not believe them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Man ata kahinan aw arrafan fasaddaqahu bima yaqul faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammad." So this hadith means that the one who approaches a fortune teller or the arraf, clairvoyant, and believes that such a person knows the unforeseen, يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبُ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, that's what he believed, then this is blasphemous. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Also Allah Ta'ala said, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا, meaning Allah is the only one who knows the unforeseen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not enable any of the creations to know about the whole unforeseen. No one can know about the whole unforeseen. So Allah is the only one who knows about the whole unforeseen. Now, what about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that the imposter will emerge, the earth animal will emerge, Isa alayhi salam will descend to earth, the sun will rise from its setting place, about the signs of the day for judgment. This is from the unforeseen. Yet this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet. So the Prophet knows of the unforeseen that bit, a little bit, only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So little information Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give to the prophets and to the angels. But not everything. Not everything. On the night of Al-Qadr, the night of Al-Qadr, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wama adraka ma laylatul qadr laylatul qadri khayrun min alfi shahr tanazzalul malaikatu wal ruhu fiha bi'izni rabbihim min kulli amr salamun hiya hatta matula'il fajr tanazzalul malaika والروح, الروح is Jibreel, الملائكه, the angels, they come in a very, very great number on that night, the night of Al-Qadr, that's in Ramadan. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ, meaning with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled them to know of what's going to happen this year until the night of Al-Qadr of the following year. For instance, that person will die during this year. That person will have a child this year. That person will have a great amount of sustenance this year. The other one will lose in his trade a big amount of money, and so on. Some of these details will be revealed to them, and that is on the night of Al-Qadr. The devils go up, they fly. Some devils, have the ability to fly, some have the ability to dive to the bottom of the ocean. Those who fly will go near the clouds. Now the angels in the clouds will be talking about what they have heard, about what's going to happen this year. So they, while they are talking about these details, the devil tries to eavesdrop and get some information from the angels. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did mention in the hadith that they get one information, let us say, and they add to it 100 lies. They add to it 100 lies. That's what they do. They listen, they get some information, and they add lies to that. They come down to the soothsayers and the clairvoyant and the fortune tellers, and they give them, they feed them with this information. And although they add lies, and that person, Al-Kahin, would tell lies as well to the one seeking some information, but unfortunately these days, once that fortune teller feeds them with one correct information, they believe them. They believe them. So you cannot trust them, you cannot believe them. They deal with devils. They get the information from them. And it's a major sin to go and ask them about something. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear in the hadith, that whoever goes to a fortune teller or the one who tells about the stolen and missing items and asks him about something, then his prayer will be without rewards for 40 nights. Meaning all the prayers that he prays for 40 days and 40 nights will be without rewards. Although he still has to pray, he cannot just say, the prayer is without rewards, I'm not going to pray. He has to pray, but his prayer will be without rewards for 40 days. It's like the one who defers praying Al-Asr prayer until just before the disk of the sun disappears. So when the sun becomes red before sunset, at this time, that's called the time of the prayer being disliked, makruh, meaning the one who delays without an excuse till that time and he prays Al-Asr at that time, the prayer will be without rewards. But he still has to pray. He is obligated to pray. But he wouldn't get the rewards. So same if someone goes to a person who claims the ability of telling about the stolen and missing items and asks him about something, then his prayer will be without rewards for 40 days. And he is still obligated to pray. Also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith as well that the one who goes to a fortune teller or the Arraf, the one who tells about the missing and lost and stolen items, and believes in him as believing him of being able to know about the unforeseen, then the Prophet said, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, then he has committed blasphemy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet. So just imagine this. To conclude this, we would say, if one believes that the fortune teller knows the unforeseen, then one becomes a blasphemer, commits a blasphemy. If he doesn't believe in him as being able to tell about the unforeseen, however, he just wanted to see what that person says. He doesn't believe in him, but he wants to go to him and ask him. You know how many people, like, they have programs on TV now, some TV shows, a person would come from that country or that country and they receive calls, they make money in that program, and they call them and one would say, I want you to tell me about my future. Then, especially like at the beginning of the New Year, on New Year Eve, they get some guests from those ones and people start calling them. I want to ask you about this coming year, how it's going to be, and so on. So they tell them. So whoever calls for fun, as they say, not believing in that person being able to know about the unforeseen, that's a major sin. If one believes that this person, the fortune teller, knows the unforeseen, then he blasphemes because he went against the ayah, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So no one knows about the unforeseen except Allah Azza wa Jal. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew a bit about the unforeseen. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. It happened once that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his camel. He couldn't find it. Then the non-believers mocked him and said to him, you claim that you receive the revelation of the skies and you don't know where you lost your camel. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, I don't know except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me. At that moment, Jibreel came to the Prophet and told him about its place. So he said, I don't know except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to me, and you'll find it in that place. And they went to that place and they found it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't know about the unforeseen, meaning everything about the unforeseen. Now this information about, like, let us say, the signs of the day of judgment, and what's going to happen on the day of judgment, you know, when the Prophet told about al-hisab, presentation of the deeds, about weighing of the deeds, about people lining up, getting judged, people going to paradise, to hell. So all this information the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed to us were from the revelation that Allah revealed to him. But compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's nothing. Once Prophet Musa alayhi salam was with Al-Khadr alayhi salam when they met, both prophets, and they were in a ship, and a bird came and it picked the water of the ocean by its beak. Just imagine what would it get from that peak. Just a drop, not even. Then Al-Khadr alayhi salam said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, your knowledge and my knowledge is like what got stuck on the bird's beak compared to this whole ocean, which is the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The knowledge of Allah has no beginning and no end. It does not change. It covers everything. It encompasses everything. So he meant by this that our knowledge compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing. What do we know compared to what Allah knows? Allah knows everything. Knows what happened, what's happening, what's going to happen. What didn't happen, if it were to happen, how it's going to happen, Allah knows about it. But our knowledge is very limited. Allah said, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So the knowledge that Allah gave us about this whole universe, just little. So our knowledge is very, very limited. So no one has a similar knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if someone claims that there is one who knows what Allah knows, everything Allah knows, he's a blasphemer. He's associating a partner with Allah. This is same as the one who says about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he knows everything Allah knows. This is shirk. This is called shirk, associating partners with Allah. To claim that Prophet Muhammad knows everything Allah knows, it's like saying Prophet Muhammad has the power similar to the power of Allah. It's like saying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the attribute of seeing and hearing same as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is equaling Prophet Muhammad with Allah azza wa jal. And this is shirk, this is kufr. Some unfortunately they claim that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about the whole unforeseen. This is exaggeration. This is crossing the limits. Now, we glorify Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love him, we respect him, as we do with the rest of the prophets. But we do not raise any of the prophets to the rank of Godhood. Do not exaggerate. We love the Prophet, we glorify the Prophet to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us. We don't go beyond. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on the day of judgment, at his basin, that's big hawd called basin, when people come to drink from the basin, some will be banned from coming towards the basin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will exclaim and will say, why? Those are my companions. It will be said to him, you don't know what they have done after your death. So that's what the Prophet said. So meaning till the last moment of the Prophet's life on earth, he didn't know that those people will commit blasphemy after his death. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him in the Quran, وَلَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. I don't know what's going to happen to you or to me. I just follow the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know about the whole unforeseen, and he is the best of the creations. What about the righteous Muslims? They don't know about the whole unforeseen. So what about the imposters, those who deal with devils, the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, clairvoyants and others? They don't know. This is what happens. The devil comes down after getting some information. He will add lies to this information that he has, will tell that imposter. The imposter will tell you. And that devil, the human devil, might have a type of communication with the devils. He can communicate with them. When they communicate as well with your devil, Al-Qareen. That is with every one of us. Every one of us has a Qareen, a devil that is with him until your death. So he remains with you. That's the one that whispers to the human beings. So this Qareen keeps whispering to you, and he can see you, and he can hear you, but he cannot know what you have in your heart. He's unable to go into your heart to get information. He won't be able to. So if you intend to do something, or if you say something in your heart, he's unable to hear it. But if you say it loud, yes, he can hear it. And he can see you. So basically, he knows your name, he knows your age, he knows many details about your life. If that person, the imposter, has communication with the devil, they communicate with each other and they feed him with information. So a person, you might go to him, to one of those, once you go inside, he will mention your name. He might say, sit down, Muhammad or Ahmad, whatever. And that's to impress you from the first, you know, meeting. Then he says to you, you have two brothers, three sisters, mom and dad, your dad went to Lebanon last week. Then you will be shocked. This is just to attract you. Then some of them, alayyaz billah, some people might believe that they know the unforeseen, and this is kufr, blasphemous. He got the information from the devil, but not everything is correct. They add lies to it. They add lies to it. A person told me once that one of those fortune tellers passed by his shop and he mentioned his name. He called him, he doesn't know him. And he said, I want to tell you about your future. Then that person, he was ignorant, but he said, I wanted to see what he says. So he accepted that, walayyazu billah. He asked him to sit down and he started talking to him. He grabbed his hand, his palm, and started reading, as they claim. He said, you're having a problem with your wife. Don't worry about your children. Your children will be okay, although they're giving you a hard time, whatever, whatever, whatever. After he finished, that person said to him, you finished now? He said, yes. He said, I'm not married. So I don't have children in the first place, and you are telling me all these things. You are a big imposter, and he kicked him out. So he wanted to show him, they give you false information, but because they provide some correct information, some get fully attracted to them and they believe them. So you are not allowed to believe them. The one who believes that, they know the unforeseen, blasphemes. The one who doesn't believe that, they know the unforeseen. However, he wanted to go to see what they say, that is a major sin. Similar to that is those who buy magazines to read the horoscope. They buy and they read, what do they say today about the one who's born on that date? So what's his luck for today? What's the best option for him? And the like. So those are committing a major sin. So you are not allowed to contact them. I remember once I was approached by one of them, the clairvoyants. She was a lady. In Lebanon they go and they just walk in the street. If they see someone, yeah, they might approach you. I said to her, look, let me advise you, this is a major sin and it could lead to blasphemy. We know that you are unable to know about the unforeseen. This is what the Prophet said. He started telling her some information. She said to me, yes, you are correct, but we want to leave. So she admitted that she doesn't have the ability to know about the unforeseen. However, they wanted money. So don't go to them, don't believe them. If something gets stolen, here what you need to do, that's the struggle. It's either you rely on Allah Azza wa Jal and you say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, I just lost it, I'm gonna surrender to the destiny of Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm not gonna complain. If I find it, I'll find it. I find it, that's good. But if I won't, I'll accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined for me. It's either you accept or you might go to those fortune tellers and you ask them. And this is against relying on Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who truly relies on Allah Azza wa Jal wouldn't go to the fortune tellers. Wouldn't go to the fortune tellers. He would accept. If it gets stolen, he would say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for me to get it, I'll be able to get it back. Otherwise, it's not meant to be for me. It was meant to be for me for that period of time. They accept. They do not object to Allah's destiny. But some people, subhanAllah, they do not stop up to there. They go to the fortune tellers and they said, I want you to know who stole it from me. And this is a major sin. As for the hadith that some people might use, which says, Inna ruqa wa tama'im wa tiwalata shirk. That is in reference to what the people of the era of ignorance used to do. They used to say some words, and they classify this as protecting the person with these words. But including in these words, they might worship the devil, Satan. So they might include some words worshipping the devils, wal'ayyadu billahi ta'ala. Also, they used to have some objects, talismanic objects, and they wear them. And they used to believe that these objects have the ability to protect you and defend you from any evil without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is blasphemous. This is shirk. So that's at-tama'im that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade from. People are during the era of ignorance used to hang him around the necks of the children, believing that these objects on their own have the ability to protect one and defend him of any evil. And this is blasphemous. This is shirk. Because they don't believe that if Allah willed for him to be harmed, he will be harmed. They believe that this can prevent this person from any harm without the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. But what Muslims do now, when they inscribe some verses of the Quran on a paper and they fold it up and they make a pocket for it and they hang it around the necks of their children, and this is known as al-hiraz. This is not like at-tama'im. Big difference between at-tama'im, what the mushrikeen used to do. They used to hang these objects around the necks of their children, believing that they can benefit without the will of Allah. They protect you from evil without the will of Allah. These are called at-tama'im. But now when you hang around your neck some of the Quran, how could that be similar to at-tama'im wal-ayyadu billah? Because you are holding part of the Quran because you believe the Quran has a blessing. There is a great barakah, blessing in the Quran. So don't listen to those who say this is shirk if they see someone wearing hiraz, and in the hiraz they ask, what is this? Even if he tells them there are ayahs from the Quran, they say to him, this is shirk. And some of those fanatic people, if they see someone wearing hirs, they try to pull it out of his neck by force, and some were nearly choked by them, trying just to pull it out. And they said, this is shirk, wal-ayyaz billah. Tell them, At-Tirmizi narrated from the root of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As that he said, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the children some dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to say, to be protected, the words of protection, like أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَعِقَابِهِ وَشَرِّ عِبَادِهِ وَمِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. So they used to teach their children to say it. And those who were unable to say it, he said, we used to inscribe it on something and hang it around their necks. So the Sahaba of the Prophet used to do this. And those ignorant people think that this is something innovated now. No, the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. So it's not forbidden. It's not forbidden. Even it was narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu that when a lady has problems in labor, when giving birth, she's struggling. He said, we used to write some verses of the Quran and give them to the pregnant woman who is in labor, having troubles in giving birth. And we haven't seen something yet more surprising than what these ayahs, the verses, would do. So even if she is struggling, she will find it very easy and smooth. There is barakah in the Quran. But those who have no barakah, they never experience the barakah, the blessings, neither in the shaykhs, neither in the leaders. They don't know what does it mean. But those who experience the barakah, they pass the message, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the most knowledgeable person in this nation after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So do not listen to those who say this is shirk, wal-ayyazu billah, as if you are worshipping the Quran. So if they ask you, what is this? This is part of the Quran. Is it haram to hold the Quran? Is it haram to carry the Quran with me? So they're going to say, no. They say, okay, I'm carrying part of the Quran. What is the problem? It's not haram. It's not shirk, as they claim. They think Muslims worship the paper and the writing. No, we love the Quran. We believe that there is blessing in the Quran. That doesn't mean we worship the Quran, no. We believe by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, because of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in the Quran, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, might see, experience these blessings and be protected by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Muslims do not believe that these that are called hirs would push the harm away from the person without the will of Allah. No, never. They believe by the will of Allah. And that person will say to you, why don't you take it off and ask Allah to protect you? Oh Allah, protect me, without using this as mediation, they say. Mediation between you and God. Say to him, when you get sick, don't go to the doctor. Don't take medicine. Just ask Allah to cure you. Even if you feel like your head is going to explode, do not take medicine. Do not take Panadol, Panamix, whatever. stay until your head explodes, don't go to the doctor. Wouldn't the doctor be a mediator in that case, according to their claim? So you take the medicine, but you don't believe that the medicine creates the benefit. No. You hope by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the what is that medicine is composed of, inshallah will give somebody strength and you'll be better, inshallah. That's what you believe. You don't believe that the medicine creates benefit. No. But those people, subhanAllah, I don't know how they think. I don't know how they think. Then Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tuhawi said, we deem the Jama'ah to be true and right, and the departure from it to be a deviation from the right course that will result in torture. The Jama'ah means the ijma' of the people of the truth on the creedal or practical issues. So when the people of the truth agree on something in aqeedah and practice, the one who goes against them is selecting a path of deviance. He is deviating from the right path and he is opposing the majority and the people of the truth. And in that case, this person will be deviating into hellfire. The majority of this nation, as you know, follow Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, and they form more than a billion. They are the majority of this nation. So the one who goes against them is deviating from the right path. Because in many hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stressed on the matter that the majority of this nation will not agree on something that is false. So simply you can use this in your life. If someone says to you, this is something forbidden, it's incorrect to be done, see if the majority of this nation are doing it, they accepted this, you know that it can't be something false. It has to be something right. Because this nation will never agree on something that is false. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the right path and to make our end as righteous Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Barakallahu feekum. Make dua for us, inshallah.